All right, we're going to start off with a verse from Jude, and then a couple verses, actually three verses from 1 Thessalonians. Before we get to the verse list, let me get to that Jude 1:9. Get that back up here on the screen. Starting off here with Jude 1:9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So we've seen that angels, in the last study that we did on the light, we've seen that angels, and particularly Michael, the archangel, are associated with Israel, not with the body of Christ, not with us. They're in the scripture, yeah, because most of the scriptures are about Israel and not about the body of Christ. Romans through Philemon is the Lord Jesus Christ's revelation of the mystery to Paul, and he relates it to us, having been instructed to write scripture, actually. And so, but we can see that there is something strange and unexpected about the archangel coming back with Christ at Christ's appearing to catch up the body of Christ into the air. Don't miss that, Michael the archangel comes back during this earlier return of Christ to the air, to the air only, and taking us up to be with the Lord. Why is Michael the archangel involved in that body of Christ event? Well, let me repeat. We can see there's something strange and unexpected about the archangel coming back with Christ at his appearing to catch up the body of Christ into the air, in the air, to take us back with him. That appears to be a contradiction. A contradiction to all the other scriptural evidence about the functions of angels. Why would Michael, the archangel, come back at the time when Christ catches us up in the air to be with him forever? Well, let's look at the scripture about the catching up. That would be 1 Thessalonians, and feel free to pitch in, anybody that wants to post the verses to free me up here. But 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The trump is the sound that a trumpet makes. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And an important verse here, short but important. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. It's comforting to know the Lord snatches us out of this world before the tribulation begins, or beginning, snatches us out to begin the tribulation. So it is comforting. We don't have to go through what Daniel said is a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. A time of trouble prophesied for Israel. In fact, it's called Jacob's trouble. However, upon close examination, we'll see that rather than to contradict the rest of the evidence, it actually confirms the principle that the functioning of angels, their duties and functions have only to do with Israel and not with the body of Christ. So first, let's review a few of the passages of Scripture which bear on the subject of God's temporary alienation of Israel and his later gathering back together his people. So we see that clearly in Hosea 1:9, the prophecy of when that would happen. Then said God, call his name Lo am I, for you are not my people. You are not my people, and I will not be your God. Very stern. I mean, how would you like to have that said to you? That was a prophecy, though, that at some time in the future, from from the time Hosea prophesied it, Israel would no longer be God's people. And God said, I will not be your God. So their special status, their special access to God was gone, would be gone at the time that that prophecy comes true. So we know that God keeps all his promises. And therefore, we know that God is going to set up a kingdom in Israel that will last forever. According to Daniel 2:44, it says that that kingdom will not end once it's set up. And knowing that, we can see that God's kingdom has not yet started on earth. Regardless of what the preterists say, it's not here now. Satan is the god of this world, and the future holds, you know, the time when the Lord will return, or the Lord holds the future time of his return. But God will start it in the future, even though now Israel is not God's people and God is not Israel's God. So we go back through the verses that show this, the very fact. Look at the Israel's casting away. The verses that Paul was inspired of God to use to cast away Israel, as verified by the rest of the chapter. But we'll look at Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. And if you want to take the time to read from after these verses, after verse 10 in Isaiah 6, to the end of the chapter, you can see that they were cast away. And what was prophesied to come after this casting away is what has happened through the centuries. So here is the reading. Hear ye indeed. Whoops, I missed a line there. Let's see. Scrolled up too far. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. So there's a blindness. A blindness of perception. You can see the difference there. But anyway, go ahead and we'll read verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy. So you can see they've passed the time of grace, of the centuries of grace, of mercy that the Lord actually showed them. They deserved to be cast away centuries ago. But here it comes the time, and not the Lord is going to make your the heart of this people fat, but the Lord says, make the heart of this people fat. Make their ears heavy. Shut their eyes. You can see this is a final casting away for the period that they're cast away. You know, I'm not saying they're not coming back. The Lord is bringing them back sometime. But it says, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes lest they see with their... Here's why they are being blinded. Lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. And as we know from 1 Corinthians 2, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So it all fits together. Israel had to be put aside, and they weren't put aside at the cross. They weren't put aside until, I don't like that term because it's not scriptural, but they had not yet been blinded. They fell in Acts 7. They continued to diminish and diminish. You know, it's not just one huge step down. It's a little at a time. You know, how would you describe the diminishing between Acts 20? Not Acts 7 when it first began, but when you get to Acts 20, there's still some diminishing before this Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 prophecy, or casting away curse, actually, is read to them by Paul. There's some diminishing going on there. And yet, in the beginning of Acts 28, there's a chance for some of the people of the Israelites, not the nation of Israel, but the Israelites that were gathered together, for them to believe and be converted as it says for Israel, converted to what, you know, to believe that the Messiah was Jesus Christ and that he did rise from the dead. And you have that in Acts 28, verse 24. So, but these two verses here, they're a prophecy of the blinding of Israel. They are also cast away, as other passages tell us. And look at the scripture of when that happened. Look in, we're going to Acts 28 here to read 17 and 18. We'll read through some of the verses that are related. Verses 17 and 18 say, "And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. When they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me." Going on a couple more verses, 19 and 20, "But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal to Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause therefore have I called you, to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." So Paul was bound with a chain for preaching to Israel what their only hope was now, that it was the same hope as the Gentiles' only hope, that being Christ, the name of Christ. They had to believe that he was the Messiah, that he was risen from the dead. Then they could go on to believe the gospel of salvation. But Acts 28, verses 23 through 29, we'll go on with here. Well, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. So it doesn't say he preached anything about the gospel of salvation. So what would Paul be telling them? We can see from the scriptural records involving Thessalonica that it was Paul's customary approach to start with the prophesied facts, which is what he's talking about here in these verses we just read. Then later, Paul would preach to the ones that believed that what Christ had revealed only to him. Therefore, Paul scripturally established the identity of Jesus, born of Mary. He told them who Jesus is. He would establish that Jesus is that prophesied Messiah written about in the Old Testament scriptures, the Christ that they had long been anticipating, and that he had risen from the dead. That is named the gospel of God in Romans 1, 1 through 4. Let's look at those verses. Romans 1, 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised, talking about God here, the gospel of God. God had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, and this is verse 3 of Romans chapter 1, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So there's his sonship and his messiahship. He's of the royal line to be the king, the seed of David, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So he's the resurrected Messiah, Son of God. But only after Paul established those scriptural facts would Paul customarily, as his manner was, would go on to preach to those that believed it what Christ came to do for them. That's the reason for the cross, what Christ came to do for us, to save us. The scriptures, they name that what Christ came to do with us, do for us. They name it the gospel of Christ. Christ had revealed the gospel of Christ to Paul. Christ had saved Paul by the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is that sinners are saved by believing on God to save them as he said that he would by Christ having died for their sins. So Paul was telling those Jews in Rome that their only hope was believing the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins. The ones that did believe that would not be in Israel's prophetic remnant anymore. They would be, they would come from Israel, being a remnant, but it would be a remnant according to the election or choice of this grace that Paul is preaching to them, the gospel of Christ. And I believe that Paul first identified Jesus as the risen Christ, then preached the gospel of Christ to them to offer them salvation into the body of Christ. And since this was Paul's last meeting with the Jews, and it was the Jews, because of that, it was their last chance to be saved. Called out group, but as a group being Jews, Paul from then on would address all people, not just the Jews. Okay, and so he had been addressing all people for a while since Acts 20, but here he gives the Jews their last chance and then reads to them, well, we'll get into that, reads that casting away curse to them. So Paul was the one who advised us all to study. Paul was not equipped with Israel's kingdom anointing, the anointing that was given to Israel's people, believers, I should say, for the kingdom and for the tribulation. The 12 were, yes, but not Paul. In Luke 21, verses 14 and 15, the 12 were told not to meditate on what to say, but that the Holy Ghost would give them the words to say in the hour of tribulation. So that was that anointing. Paul, that was part of it anyway. Paul was not given that anointing, and neither anyone else is in the body of Christ. Paul had to study. Therefore, going into that meeting with the Jews, Paul knew what he was inspired to preach and to do. He had studied for it and prepared for it. He knew that their meeting would end with Paul inspired to enact Isaiah's curse against apostate Israel, blinding them and casting them away until the fullness of the Gentiles be come into the body of Christ. So Paul offered Israel their only hope, their final opportunity to believe the gospel of Christ crucified for their sins before the temporary blinding and casting away of apostate Israel. Paul did not stop with merely preaching the gospel of God to them. Paul preached to those Jews in Rome that their only hope was by believing the gospel of Christ, that Christ died for their sins. And that would save them. Christ already paid the penalty for their sins by his death on the cross. If they did not believe, Christ still died for their sins, but it did not apply to those who would not believe it. Their sins would remain unforgiven. Although paid for, the redemption price already paid, we are justified by faith. We believe on him to life everlasting, but you have to believe on him to get the life everlasting. It's a gift received by faith. Then Paul enacted Isaiah's blinding and casting away curse on apostate Israel. So it says in Acts 28 verses 24 through 29, some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after Paul had spoken one word. And he says, well spoken. Well, you know what a word of consolation is, and you know what a word of warning is. It's an expression, a message, a statement, not necessarily limited to only one grammatical word, but it means a message. A word of consolation, a word of warning would mean a message. Not necessarily just one word. I can't think of another word for word, but... But it's this one message that Paul spoke to them, and he said, "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers." Paul declares to apostate Israel the prophecy that Isaiah prophesied to be enacted when Israel was finally being blinded and cast away. Therefore, inspired of God, Paul continues, and he says, starting in verse 26, saying, "Go unto this people, and say, hearing you shall hear and not shall not understand. Seeing ye shall see and not perceive." In other words, their spiritual blinding begins then. No longer merely blinded in part, as Paul said they were when he wrote his epistle to all that be in Rome. Back in Acts 20 he wrote it, and he said, "You're blinded in part." We're now reading in Acts 28, and we are witnessing the full blinding and casting away of apostate Israel. Let's continue with verse 27. "For the heart," here's why, "for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them." Talking about Israel in particular here. Not all people. They could come as all people to believe and be saved into the body of Christ. But this is talking about Israel in particular. So that was directly from Isaiah's curse there in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. And it continues, verse 28 and 29 says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed." The Jews departed. There's a final departing, so to speak. It's a sad time. And they had great reasoning among themselves, and they're still reasoning today, trying to justify what they did and their rebellion. Well, you know, reason as much as you want. Apostate Israel had just been blinded and cast away for a while, temporarily, a long spell, still in that blinding and casting away. Israel had repeatedly ignored and even rebelled against God's offer of salvation for Israel through the kingdom of God, coming out of heaven to earth with their Messiah on the throne. Israel rejected it and went on to commit the unforgivable sin in Acts 7. The result of that was alienation from God for a while anyway, for a long while, until, and there is an until in there. Let's read it in Romans 11:25. Romans 11:25 tells us, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits." Why does he put that in there? "Lest you think you know it all. Lest you think you caused Israel's fall." He says, I would not, brethren, you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own conceits, that Israel in part, that blindness in part has happened to Israel. Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel's blinding has begun, and it continues until it stops, when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And look at 2 Thessalonians 2. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. "And now we know what withholdeth, that he," the man of sin from verse 3, before where we had read there, "the man of sin, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth," letteth means to restrain, remember. A person lets or restrains a water bucket from falling. They let it down the well slowly so it doesn't disrupt and stir up the mud in the water. Let means to restrain in this case. "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth," or restraineth, he will restrain until he be taken out of the way. Then Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So that will be the Lord's coming down all the way to the earth, as described in Acts 1:11-12, described in Zechariah 12:9-11 or so, and described in Zechariah 14:1-5. That's Jesus Christ coming down and destroying that wicked, that man of sin that was revealed when the restrainer was taken out of the way. And we'll get more into the details next time, and how angels resume functioning for Israel after the body of Christ is gone. So that's a preview as to why Michael the archangel came down to the middle of the air when we are caught up, because the light of the world is leaving the world, and Israel needs help, the help of angels. So we'll get into that in more detail next time, hopefully tomorrow. And I'm ready for questions, comments, things that I omitted, let me know. Or if I misspoke, I don't see right now, I'm not stating it dogmatically, but I don't see that the scripture says that anybody in that Acts 28 group there, Acts 28 verses 17 to about 24, that any of those became believing Jews, like the kingdom, the little flock. I think they only, if they believed, they went on ahead to believe the gospel of Christ too, as well as the gospel of God, and became part of the remnant according to the election of grace. I think it's possible that there could have been some that believed Israel's gospel if they had heard it. Well, they had heard it. They just didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah, and once they believed the gospel of God. But the scriptures don't say anything about people believing the gospel of God and then the gospel of the kingdom in Acts 28. You know, of course, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 7:18, that there were some called out of that synagogue by believing the gospel of God that believed also the gospel of Christ and became part of the body of Christ. But there were some that came out of that apostate synagogue believing the gospel of God that went on to believe the gospel of the kingdom. And that's who the book of 1 Corinthians is addressed to. It's addressed to those that came out, but the name given is the Church of God. That's who Paul persecuted before he was saved, and there was a body of Christ. He was persecuting the little flock, the kingdom church. And that's who some of those people were that came out of the synagogue in Corinth, according to 1 Corinthians 7:18. And let me just put that up there. 1 Corinthians 7:18. There's no doubt that there was a mixed multitude that came out. Is any man called in being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. If God wants you to become a believing Jew instead of an apostate Jew, be that. And is any called in uncircumcision? In other words, not a Jew, but believing the gospel of the uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Don't try to be a Jew. If you're in the body of Christ, rejoice. Don't try to be circumcised or baptized or any otherized. You know, you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So there were two groups there within that one group for a while before they split, and the little flock ministered to those that believed Israel's gospel, being called, being circumcised. And Paul ministered after that to those, Paul and his fellow workers in Corinth, to those that were called in uncircumcision, by the gospel of the uncircumcision. All right. I don't see any questions. Let's see. Those who came to Paul later would have heard the gospel of the grace of God. Yes, those who came In those 2 years, I think you mean the 2 years there. Yeah, I see where you're going with that. That's Acts 28, 30, and 31. Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came to him. And those that believed then would be believing what Paul had preached. He had started preaching or being sent to preach. I shouldn't say he started preaching because we don't have record of him preaching it. In Acts, but he had been sent to preach to all people that same saving message. Could have included those Jews in the preceding verses. Yeah, some of them could have heard in a separate meeting. The Bible doesn't say so, though, so we don't know that, but it's a possibility. Yeah, it's not something to be ruled out. Bible doesn't rule it out either.